Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden, and Pastor Lee, I know you're over there on the other side of the country. Just want to let you know, appreciate you being with us. A lot of people are making a lot of comments on some things that we're talking about, and I really want to thank you because when I ask you to come on, I literally give you no time to prepare for anything. I'm just literally like, I'm on deadline. I got to do this now. Call me back and let's hit the record button. So I appreciate you being with us again, my longtime friend.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
It's cold here. It's like we're part of the frozen tundra that has settled upon the country. And I know that when it's cold here, it's usually not that cold where you are because you're on the other side of the country, and that's the way the jet stream moves. So I'm thinking that you're probably not that cold right now. Is that true?
Very sunny, about 60 degrees in the, before noon here in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. So it's coming our way. It'll be here tomorrow.
It will be. That's how it works. Of course, I know a little bit about weather. But anyway, let me just tell you a little bit about what's been impressive on my heart, my friend. I believe in things being Holy Ghost inspired, Holy Spirit inspired. And this is something that I hope is reaching out to somebody somewhere, this subject that I'm going to talk about. And I'm taking it basically from what I'm seeing, a repetitive pattern when I go in and I do my chaplaincy at a hospital here in the Denver area. So for people who don't know, I was a TV reporter, TV anchor for long, long time. And of course, you and I know each other from our radio days before I did TV, which was even longer, long, long time ago. But since then, when I got out of the business, I went into seminary, and I became an ordained chaplain. And you likewise got out of broadcasting, went into seminary, and became a pastor of a pretty decent-sized church in the South. And so our journeys have taken similar paths. But one thing that I've noticed when I do my chaplaincy, and you know this because you did a chaplaincy too. So when you go in and you talk to people, it's funny the responses you see. And actually, I would like to thank the head chaplain of the hospital for giving me every single atheist in the hospital last week. Well, that was fun. Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. No wonder I was the only one working. See, Wiz. Oh, what did I tell you? What I don't drink, and but I, if I ever wanted a drink,
that
it was after my shift last Tuesday. Let me tell you, it's like it was getting so bad. It's like when you finally I hit honestly sometimes 60 rooms. I'm very efficient at what I do. I have a pattern down. When I went, finally got to the point like, okay, well, tell me what you believe. Some people like, oh, I don't really know. I believe there's a power in the sky or whatever, a higher power or whatever going on. I'm like, okay, so I tell you what, man, I'm on the second floor. When you figure it out, just let me know. Because I'm just like, I don't know what to do with that. I mean, what do I do with that? You believe in everything? You believe in Yoda, Santa Claus? What the heck am I supposed to do with that? And I'm just fine. Like, do you want prayer? Well, do you want prayer? Well, the problem with prayer is blah, blah, blah. But does that mean you want it? I mean, seriously, don't, it's like I'm just here to offer, prayer. And it's just not like I want to get into any kind of discussion. But it gets to the point where I'm like, seriously, man, why don't you just figure out what you believe and just get a hold of me if you need me? Because, that was my day last Tuesday. It's funny. Every day kind of has a different little theme to it. But anyway, overall, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. Overall, and I know you've experienced this, when you go in and ask people, let's say if you ask them, what do you believe? Do you want prayer? a lot of times what you get is, oh, I believe in God. I believe in even Jesus Christ, but I'm good. I don't need prayer. First of all, that puzzles me. Now, you've had dogs. Do you know when the dog is confused, it kind of cocks the head over to the side and looks at you like, what the heck? Well, that's kind of like what I do with patients. You're telling me you believe, but yet you're declining prayer when you're in a hospital bed. That is not logical. I mean, spiritual things aren't always logical, but that's just not even logical spiritually. How you would decline prayer. And I'm like, okay, and I move on. But I don't understand how people who tell me they believe, especially people who say they're Christian people, and they're like, no, I'm good. And it kind of, I thought about that. I've been thinking about this for months now. Why do people who believe decline prayer when they obviously need it? And you know what, Pastor Lee? I've come to realize, I think I've got this pinned down, why people do that. I think that people do that because of two reasons. One is they don't feel worthy of the prayers. They don't feel like they deserve them. Like maybe there is someone who's, I don't know, dying on fire in the next room over. I don't know. I don't know. But I really think that they think that, A, they really, someone needs the prayers worse, perhaps. And B, I think that they have, I'm just going to put it out there, friend. I think they have trust issues with God. I just think they've got trust issues. I mean, I've actually had to, in the middle of a prayer, getting ready to pray for someone, like, well, I guess, okay. And I literally will say, listen, if you've got trust issues with God, don't waste my time. I mean, I'm not praying to a wall. I'm not praying prayers that are hitting the ceiling here. I sometimes go to the gates of hell on behalf of people who have issues to pray for them. And, A, if you don't understand how that works, me being a holy person who has been called to do these prayers for people who need them, or, B, you don't think that God is hearing your prayers, then don't waste my time. Now, listen, I know that sounds cruel, but I'd rather deal with the atheists who go, no, thank you, I don't believe in anything, than to deal with people who say they believe in God or Jesus Christ, and they have trust issues. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And I remember one time Jesus encountering some folks who were not very faithful. And he turned to his disciples saying something about not throwing their pearls before swine. There comes a time when you have to say, I'm not productive here. I'll go somewhere where I can be productive. And as a person who's ordained minister and work as a chaplain and as a counselor therapist, I can say those are hard words to say, but they're very real. Do you think there's a fear factor involved in why people won't accept prayer of a chaplain or a Christian?
Well, I do think there's some, I don't know, maybe, people just innately can sense a presence of a person. Mm-hmm. And I walk in, and most people will not decline meeting with me. I mean, there are a couple that won't look at me. I just know, they're not happy to see me. But most people, whether they're an atheist or believe in anything, will at least accept the visitation. And the issue that I take and what's so draining, and people don't realize, when I say holy people, I'm talking about someone who has been called or anointed and spiritually to do these things. When a holy person will walk in and offer to expend time, it takes a piece of them because they're expending a part of their soul sometimes on your behalf. They're approaching the throne of God on your behalf, and it can be very draining. I mean, this. I'll come home sometimes after a chaplaincy shift, and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I'm just done. I have to rejuvenate. I cannot even think straight right now. I'm so drained. I'm so tired of what I've done for people spiritually. It really does take a piece of you. It takes a toll on you physically. So that's interesting what you're saying. Now, you know, I when it comes to people having trust issues, I like to put it in this sense. In the physical realm, okay, well, let's do it this way. I know you're from Virginia, and of course I grew up in Virginia, so I know you've been to Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. And I used to live in Virginia Beach. They have these tunnels, guys, that go mm-hmm. underneath the ocean. All right. The only way you can get to Hampton and Portsmouth from this side of Virginia, which would be like Norfolk and all that stuff, is you've got to go underneath the ocean at the Hampton. It's one of them is called the Hampton Tunnel. You go underneath the ocean, and then you go back up, and then you're on the other side of Hampton Roads. I mean, every day you do, it's congested, hundreds of people, hundreds and hundreds every day, especially during the summer when people are going to the beach will go under this tunnel. And if you think about it, you know, I was unfortunately in the car with someone who was in the military who knew a lot about the tunnel, which is right close to the naval base. All it would take is one, like, pinhead leak, brother, for something to cause a catastrophe with that tunnel because of the pressure that would build up with one leak in the tunnel. You know, it would just be wiped out for everybody. I mean, and sometimes you get stuck in that tunnel in rush hour, and you'll be in that tunnel sometimes 20, 30 minutes during rush hour. It messes with you if you think about it. Most people, well, I don't really think about it. You know, I just trust that everything's going to be okay, you know, and I always wondered going in that tunnel, man, it would just, you know, you got all these drunken sailors out here. No offense if you were a drunken sailor in Norfolk, Virginia, but, I mean, I live there. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything could happen at any time, man. It's scary, but you still do it. Some people do it twice a day. And,
yes.
You know, you get in an airplane. I'm flying, I'm traveling, I'm going here, I'm going there. You don't even think about when you get on the plane, well, gee, this, I'm putting my life in the hands of another human being. You're going in for surgery, you go under for surgery, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know if they're going to mess up. You don't know when they take you under if you'll come back alive. I mean, you don't know. God bless my husband who's had 7 back surgeries. And every time he'd go in for a back surgery, I'd say, I've never had any surgeries. What's it like to go under? Aren't you afraid that something will go wrong, that you might die when you're under? He goes, you know what? I don't worry about things I have no control over. So I thought, wow. You know, in the physical realm, we don't worry about that, or we probably wouldn't get in our cars and drive if we knew statistics. You know, you're over there right around Route 220. You know how bad that route is, and I'm sure you probably drive it how many times a week, Route 220, out there in Virginia? I mean, that's like...
Yes, to daily.
Well, what
you're saying is we have faith. We all have a level of faith. The floor is going to hold us up. The car is going to deliver us. The Chesapeake Bay Bridge is not going to collapse while I'm under the ocean. And yet we hear this word, but. I have faith, but. You can pray for me, but. Or I'm good.
Exactly.
It's another way of saying but.
Exactly. And that's my point. In the physical realm of life, it seems like we take no thought about getting on that plane or going under that tunnel that goes under the ocean or whatever. We don't have issues with that. We don't worry about things we have no control over. We trust. However, in the spiritual realm, Pastor Lee, people don't apply the same, you know, I have no control over it, so I don't worry about it. That's the same ideology you need to apply to the spirit realm. But yet everybody worries about everything in the spirit realm. Because when it comes to those worries, it has to do with the future, and everybody worries about the future, all the things that could go wrong. But yet we don't worry about going under the ocean and having a pinhead-sized leak take us out. I mean, just think about, put it into that perspective. As a spiritual person who has spiritual reasoning, you have got to have trust. If you don't have trust, and I tell people this all the time, you got to believe with me. I'm going to pray for you. Some of them are in tears. You got to believe in me. Faith is believing that everything is going to be okay, even if it doesn't seem like it in the physical realm. That's what you're going to have to expend when I grab your hand and we pray. You have to join with me in your faith. Because if you don't believe, you have trust issues with God. And I'll take that a step further, Pastor Lee. When you have trust issues with God, you are not walking the right walk. You are in sin. Because Jesus Christ died so that you can have an abundant life. Am I right? He died so you can have, what is an abundant life? Good relationships, good health, money coming in. He died for those things so you can have them now. For you not to believe that he did that is for you to make a mockery of the cross.
Yes.
That's how important it is to have faith. What do you think?
I think one of our biggest tasks for ourselves and for those that we would help is how do we help them remove the block? What is the blockage? You know, I think of the book of Luke in the New Testament. He was a doctor. Luke was a doctor, and he records several times Jesus asks a person, do you want to be well? What do you want me to do for you? And if a person has no blockages, if they have no trust issues, they can make a clear picture of what they want and say, I want to be well. I want my leg to quit hurting. I want to believe that my future is okay and I can trust God. Make a clear picture of what is it like to be trusting God. What would that look like, sound like, feel like? Make a clear vision of that and don't let those blocks get back in the way of that vision.
I agree. I believe that people are very lacking when it comes to exercise. And I'm talking about exercising of their faith. It takes focus, Pastor Lee, and it takes discipline. But we have all been wired to have faith because we are created in the image of God after all. But just like when you want to get in shape, you go to the gym. You know, if you look in the mirror 6 weeks before you hit the gym, you're like, there, you know, it may look pretty grim. Right? But if you apply the focus and the discipline within a matter of weeks, you can turn out to be the person that you set in your mind that you wanted to be. But it does take those two things. It's the same thing in martial arts. Those of you in martial arts that you've trained and you've made it to at least one black belt, you know it took discipline. It took focus. It took times that you did not want to get up and go to class because you've already worked or the weather's bad or whatever. You don't feel like going out, but you do anyway. And you do that over a course of years and years and years, and then you arrive. It creates a mental discipline, martial arts, a mental discipline. That's the beauty of martial arts. It's the same thing with, you know, going to college or getting that degree. If you don't focus and put down a very disciplined routine, you're not going to be able to accomplish that goal. And I see a lot of people who can really put it into gear to get that degree or to get the body that they want. But for some reason, body, mind is good, but spirit, Pastor Lee, is lacking. They're lacking the spiritual discipline and the focus to believe, to exercise your faith. That's what, to me, it boils down to when I come in and say, listen, I'm here to pray for you. Let me grab your hand. Let me agree with you because you say you believe. You believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to the throne of God right now and pray for a complete bill of health for you, for your healing, because you're in a hospital bed. And so many people will either, A, decline it because they don't feel worthy or they think that someone needs prayer worse than them, I guess, or B, they've got trust issues. That maybe it won't really work. Well, maybe it'll work for you, Karen, because you're an ordained chaplain. It's not going to work for me. I'm just a normal person, and I screw up all the time. I think that's the reasoning behind it, Pastor Lee, when people have to realize that God is like you are with your kids. I mean, you have a child, too, and you understand that you don't always like what they do. But, man, you still love them. I mean, it's just that you still want very good things for that child. And that's the interesting part of the way God works, is that you're his kid, and he may not like the things you do, but his love is still unconditional for you. And, you know, in my research of what is love, which, you know, I've spent like a good chunk of my life trying to answer that question and doing interviews and doing mini docs and stuff on this one question, what mm-hmm. is love? I can't tell you, I do know that that unconditionally, the love that a parent who is emotionally stable has for a child is about as close as I can come to what is love. And that is the way God is with us because we're his children. So if you think you don't deserve to be prayed over or to have good things in your life, then you need to seriously reassess what you believe because that is not the faith of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do anything outside of belief. It's simple. Mm-hmm. It's so simple, I guess it's difficult. You know?
Indeed. A few weeks ago, I planted some curly mustard for my fall crop. And those seeds are so small that I use a salt shaker, literally, to plant the entire garden. One little mustard seed of faith, Jesus says, can move a mountain. I bet there are some people that you pray with that have some doubts, but something miraculous happened.
All you have to do is apply the discipline to your spiritual life and realize that everything has already been paid for you to have a good life or an abundant life, as the Bible calls it. There's nothing, you know, incumbent upon it. In other words, you know, I work with someone that, you know, I work with a lot of people that, I mean, they actually will believe in everything but Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just like Jesus Christ is, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I just, you know, it's like the sweat lodge thing. You know, me being a pretty heavy Native American, a lot of people will ask me about the sweat lodges and things like that. And I'm like, well, listen, if you're going to give $3,000 to go to the middle of the Arizona desert and sit in a freaking sweat tent to find out your spiritual reasoning, you know, I'll do it for $2,500. I mean, come on. It's like, really? I mean, you're going to go through all that extent and all that expense to find out what spirituality is or what truth is. When all you have to do is believe and have faith when it comes to our belief in Christ. And you can have anything and everything that you need or ask for. Seek first the kingdom of God. Try to do good. Try to do the right thing. These things will be added unto you. The right thing is to believe that he's already given you these things. And I guess maybe because of the course of I don't know, churchy stuff, that people feel like they can't relate to that. I don't know, Pastor Lee. I think that people, especially in this day and age with the next generations coming up, are feeling like the whole church thing is just not working. And you see it very, very effectively shutting down churches everywhere. And, of mm-hmm. course, you have a lot of indoctrination in the public schools. And don't think I'm making that up because I had a kid in public school. And I tell you what, it just... It infuriates me sometimes the stuff that he comes home with and goes, Mom, look at this. Mom, look at this. I'm fortunate that my own son has the discernment to go, wait a minute, this is someone trying to feed me a crock of crap. He can do that, and then he'll do what he has to do. I don't even have to say anything. However, I know there are a lot of kids out there who don't have that understanding because they weren't raised in it, and they're just eating and drinking this stuff about, you know, being, for lack of a better way, Antichrist. Hey, hit me up. I'll be glad to forward to you documentation over the years of what my own son has had to deal with the liberalism in schools. I mean, that's fine if you don't want to talk about spiritual beliefs in school. That's fine. And I wish you wouldn't if you're going to just spoon-feed everybody all the stuff about how everything's good except believing in Christ, because that's basically what it's been boiling down to. So when you have a lot of people who don't have that foundation, you know, you train up a child in the way it should go. When he's older, he won't depart from it. If you never got it growing up, you're going to spend a lot of your time searching for it. And I understand that. So I'm sympathetic to people that didn't get an upbringing in faith, and now they have issues because they're grown and God's got to go get them because they've never been able to lean in and they never learned how to lean in. So if that's you, that is your walk. If God's calling on you, I want to encourage you to learn how to lean in on it. And when you lean in with faith, you simply are believing that things are going to be okay, even if they don't seem like it, because Jesus Christ already paid the price for things to be okay for you. Does that make sense, Pastor Lee, or am I talking to myself here?
You're doing a beautiful job. People gaining a distorted view of who Jesus is, no wonder they don't want to trust. Find a clear vision. You won't find a clear vision of who Jesus is in the church many times because of cultural influences and problems and conflicts. You won't find a clear picture of Jesus in my life many times. I'm a sinner. I smoke cigars. I don't look like a Christian, right? Get a clear picture of what the gospel says, what the Bible really says. It says to believe in Christ, to trust him because he loves you. He wants you to have abundance. Accept it. Move one degree of faith, just one degree, and see how that works for you, as I hear you say often.
Well, you know, you've pastored more than one church in your lifetime, so you know all about the whole churchy thing. You know, and I got to tell you, I tell people this, and I have to say this every time I go in and do my chaplaincy because I hear this, well, I don't really go to church. I'm like, well, I don't really care. You know, if you get something out of going to church, you should go. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're getting frustrated and you're not getting anything out of it, you need to find another way to assemble. I tell people I have church every day somehow. I'm always having some kind of assembly, whether it's just with me and another person. There's always church going on around me somewhere. It's not in a structural building per se. But I feel, you know, today with the you know, you go down the street and see so many churches boarded up because they've gone. They've dissipated because of the lack of attendance. And I know a lot of churches out there are struggling to keep their attendance. And I feel kind of bad because, you know, think about it back in the day, Pastor Lee. We both grew up in the church. We both went to churches growing up. You know, and back in that time, it was very staunch. You sung traditional hymns. You dressed up to go to church. You know, and you sat there and you were quiet and you listened. And then you went home. And something happened over the course of the decades where that wasn't good enough. People were saying, we're not going because it's so stiff-suited in churches. It's so staunch. It's so unhip. And so churches started to change. They started to say, all right, wear your blue jeans, whatever you want to wear to church. We don't care. Adding in, you know, the drums, the electric guitar, whatever, making the music sound a little more modern. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's to the point today where some of these people are very talented at these churches. I mean, it's like a rock concert. Some of these churches, I'm impressed. I'm like, wow, you know, we did radio. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. They got the state-of-the-art equipment, spent thousands and thousands getting that right, getting the talent in there to get people all excited with the music when they come in. You know, they're even serving freaking coffee and alcohol in some churches to get people to come in the sanctuary. I mean, they're just reaching out to these measures. And now what are people saying? Well, I'm not going to go to church. I don't expect church to be like a bar. I don't expect it to be like a rock concert. You know, well, what do you want? I mean, stop complaining about it and just go if you're going to go. Because you just can't. It's like you can't really make anybody happy with as far as the physicality of any kind of church, the comfort of a church, the hip and the coolness of a church. And if people are going to church to get that, they're not going to stay anyway. Because people who really walk in faith, who go to a sanctuary, will go there with their eyes looking for God, Pastor Lee. They don't care what's around them. They don't care how people are dressed. They don't care about the music. You could have no equipment and have a bunch of people going a cappella with no microphones. They don't care. They're looking for the face of God when they go into a sanctuary. And that's the difference. So the whole church thing can be very wound up wrong. And if you think that God's not going to answer your prayers because you don't go to church, I don't think you understand exactly what it is that you believe and whom you believe in. That's the way I feel about that. So anyway, you know, I'm not here, obviously, you've pastored churches. I'm not here to knock church. Church has a very important role in community. But I wish the pastors would stop worrying about being hip enough. You know, you see these pastors that have been pastoring for 30, 40 years and have always worn suits, and all of a sudden they're wearing blue jeans and the rolled up, you know, dress shirts with the tails out and stuff. Just stop, okay? You look hideous in that, first of all. just wear the suit and be who you are, okay? I mean, it's so obvious. You're trying to attract attendance of the next generation. Stop watering it down and just keep your eyes on God and do what God tells you to do. I mean, God will take care of you. You don't have to adhere to anything else. Just be who you are supposed to be. And the next generation will be raised up to help the next generation because God will do it. But I think you understand, and as someone who's pastored more than one church, go ahead, give me your opinion on that.
Oh, I'll just add to it briefly. I recently joined a very large Methodist church. Before I did, I interviewed the pastor, and he says, well, what do you want from church? Because we have this and that, and this band plays at this service and the other. I'm like, I want a God experience. That's what I want. If you come to the pulpit on Sunday morning and you want me to have a God experience, teach me the Bible, and I want to see in some way that your life is better because you're walking and trusting Jesus. If you do that, I don't care what you wear. He's like, we're going to be fine. It's going to work out. And indeed it has.
I just bet you didn't even tell him that you were a pastor because I know how you are.
You're right.
You know, I know how you are because that would totally change the conversation and then he would probably get all, you know, even defensive. I mean, I'm like that too in my own field, in my own arena. I don't really tell people a lot about myself. I don't show my hand of cards because all of a sudden some people will feel almost maybe even competitive at times if they're in the same business. But you raise a very good point. You know when you feel God because the Holy Spirit causes things to change in the atmosphere. You know when there's been, as you say, a God experience. And I've had that God experience in Walmart, if you want to know the truth. I've had that God experience in a lot of different places. But I've also had that God experience in churches from being a very little child, a small child, a child at the age of 4. I have felt Holy Spirit conviction upon me to know that I need to go up and accept Christ as my Savior and do it publicly in front of a church. They used to do altar calls back in those days. And I would go up. I knew what I felt the conviction even as a child. I knew there was something different in my childhood when I would attend various services and I could feel the presence of God in those places. Wasn't even all that knowledgeable as a child. I wouldn't be. However, I know what I feel. Children feel things. Children can feel evil. Children can feel good. Children can feel when your moods are off and when you're having a bad day. Pets can do that. Pets know when something's wrong. Pets can sense the atmosphere. Pets can sense the spiritual realm. I mean, don't think that kids don't know what's going on. Kids can sense things more so than adults can sense things. And so I just want to encourage you to go to the place with a refuge where you're going to be able to feel Holy Spirit inspired. You're going to feel God in these places. Whatever that place is for you, you need to find it. I know some people, and I know like yourself, you go outside and lose yourself in the middle of old Indian country, and you're good. You know, a lot of people are like that. They find it in nature. I do that too. I feel God in those areas many, many times. I mean, it's just there are some places out there I'm very sensitive to the spiritual residue. And I know those places, I know that somebody did something that was really Holy Spirit inspired. And I can feel it in churches too, many churches. I can feel that people were healed or people's lives were changed. But unfortunately, a lot of churches, I don't feel that anymore. So, you know, God is everywhere. He's not necessarily in a church, but he certainly can be. And, you know, if you can find that place, you need to stick with it. You need to support it. You need to stay with it. But I will tell you this, if you're in the hospital and the chaplain comes up and says, can I pray with you? If you believe, don't say that's okay. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't have somebody pray for you who tells you that they come in the name of Christ and you come in the name of Christ and they want to pray with you. I mean, they're doing a lot just to grab your hand and approach the throne of God. A holy person doing that is a big deal, Pastor Lee. This is not a layman. This is someone who has given their life up for this cause, and they're willing to do this on your behalf. That's like having in martial arts, that's like having Bruce Lee walk in your class someday and go, hey, listen, can I show you a few moves? And you go, oh, that's okay.
I'll pass. Really?
Are you kidding? Oh, okay, well, you have a good day. I mean, when you're at the top of your game of something and somebody wants to help you, body, mind, or spirit, think about your response and, you know, think about what you're saying. Listen, I never turn down prayer, Pastor Lee. I never turn down prayer. If somebody believes in the same Christ that I believe in, I never turn down prayer. I've been, talking about Virginia Beach. I remember there was what people thought was some crazy old man on the beach. People would walk down the steps to go to the shore, and he would go, can I pray for you? And most people would be like, oh, what a nut. You know, came my turn, looks at me and goes, can I pray for you? I'm like, absolutely. I mean, pray as long and loud as you want, brother. I have no problem with that. I mean, you're turning down something that is very precious that money cannot buy. We've killed some time here, as I knew we would.
And I was
just
tell
thinking,
me,
Pastor Lee.
I was just
thinking. Tell me what you were thinking.
Please go ahead. My thought was there's so many books about what prayer really is all about. An Idiot's Guide to Prayer is a beautiful little book. Don't remember who wrote it, but it's a good little book. Secrets to the Lost Art of Prayer is another book folks can pick up at Amazon or somewhere. It's beautiful. Learning the value and the power of prayer will increase our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and I hope that's enough to finish with today.
Pray, pray, pray. When people come to me with problems, the last thing I always tell them is pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray some more. Pray. Really, get that communication going. I mean, you've got to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to talk to God. Always pray. You can be praying. You can talk to God like you're talking to anybody. It doesn't have to be any particular ritual, though I'm not against rituals. They do have a certain type of power that they hold. But I mean, if you're going to pray without ceasing, you need to start praying. How about that one? If you're going to pray without ceasing, you need to start praying.
Right now.
All right. Pastor Lee, I appreciate you being with me here today. I know you do a lot of, you do carpentry work. You do a lot of refurbishing, just like our Lord did. And that is a dying art. It's kind of like up there with a lot of things that people don't do anymore, like knitting and stuff like that, and you're still doing it. And a lot of people call on you from long distances to take care of their precious pieces of woodwork. So they can go online to thewooddoctor.com. Am I correct? Woodoctor.com?
Yourwooddoctor.com.
Yourwooddoctor.com. And you are someone of divine inspiration, and you are a holy person. And, because of that, I would certainly, if I needed some woodwork done, go to you. I probably do need some woodwork done. I don't even look. I don't pay attention. I'm one of those people. You know, I have like six different kinds of wood in my bedroom. I don't care. It's just like, it's still standing. It's functional. I'm going to use it. But I know a lot of people, that is a real art to be able to do that. So please let Pastor Lee know if you have some woodwork, refurbishing work that you need done. I'm headed out to do some work with the Cherokee Nation in January, brother. I don't like to travel in the winter, but I'm going to do this one with my friend, Martial Arts Master Stan Witz, who is also in of Cherokee Nation. And we're going to try to help out the Cherokee people there with our martial arts and teaching some self-defense and starting up some bigger and better self-defense programs for Native American people They're having a real issue with the women disappearing by the thousands,
yes,
being murdered and kidnapped. We don't know exactly what's going on with that, but pray for us. And I got some things coming along in the spring I'll let people know about later. I still got 4 books out. You can find them on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, whatever. Still doing my writing, doing a lot of writing. Still do 2 magazines a month. And, you know, obviously when I do my writing with the format of the magazines, they're martial arts magazines, I can't get all Jesus-y like I can now. I do stay very positive, though, and my philosophy is something that has become very popular over the last 20 years. So I thank God for that, because it's still Holy Spirit inspired. Even though I got to stick to a format, it's still Holy Spirit inspired. All right, well, I guess we're going to get out of here, start our week, sir. Appreciate you again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. God bless you, and we shall see you next time on The Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.